This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. It's Monday, April 20th, 2020, about 23 minutes past the top of the hour. And our guests now are here to talk to us about the Byrne Thompson Writers Group. And April is Poetry Month. Mary Lou Spartz, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to see you on the telephone.
You too, Mary Lou, and Richard Stokes, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you both here. Mary Lou, can we start with you and tell us about Byrne Thompson? How'd this all get going?
Well, it's been going for some time now. Richard, about how many years do you think we've been meeting?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's changed name and form so many times. You know, I think it goes back into the 90s for the original, you know, sort of ancestor of the Byrne Thompson. So it's a really hard number to nail down.
Okay. Well, and as Richard says, it's changed over the years, as things do. And we gather every 2 weeks in the month, usually. Of course, we're not doing that right now. So this is so wonderful to be able to have our gathering on your program, Scott. We usually have a program in April at the City Museum, and we are. Poets get together there and read their winter's work and are joined by friends and family. And this year, of course, we had planned that, but like so many things, it didn't come about because of the virus, as you know.
Right, and we're looking forward to today. I know both of you have a couple pieces that you're going to share with us, and then we are rumoring about coming back throughout Poetry Month and hearing from your group. So we're looking forward to that for sure. Should we just get to one of them? Mary Lou, do you have one that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yes, I do. I have one called Handiwork. God wears extra tufts as she walks the wetlands to check on Canada geese resting after their long flight. Her blue jeans are damp from the light rain, but it doesn't bother her. The muddy trail passes a cottonwood tree, shedding butter-yellow leaves, forming a circle beneath. She raises her binocs, adjusts the distance, and sees the birds. Satisfied with her handiwork, she turns up the collar on her jacket against a cold wind from the river. Starts back along the trail to her old F-150 waiting in the parking lot.
All right. That's Handiwork by Mary Lou Spartz. Mary Lou, may I ask about your inspiration for that piece?
Well, a couple of years ago now, Tracy K. Smith was in town.
Yes.
And she was, you may remember that, and she did a program. She was poet laureate for the country, and she came to Alaska, and one of her stops was here in Juneau. She was just delightful.
Right.
And she had a poem that was similar in intent, based in a Texas setting. And so I thought, well, I'll try that in an Alaska setting.
Well, it worked. You got me out into the flats for sure. Thanks for sharing that. Richard, do you have a piece that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do, and it's short. This is a little poem that was accepted for the Poetry Omnibus for the next year, and the title is "Lucky Look." Between me and the rising sun, airborne diamonds glisten as a red squirrel scampers across a spruce bough, spring-loaded with fat drops from last night's shower.
Very nice.
Lucky look.
Lucky look. Yeah.
And that was you said that was for Poetry Omnibus?
Right.
And I think in case our listeners don't know what that is, will you remind us, please, Richard?
Well, it's a program that's been going on, I think, for about a dozen years now, and poets submit poets of all ages submit poems with no more than 10 lines. Poems are chosen in a for the youth category, and also for the adult category. And the poems chosen are put on placards, and they ride on the city transit buses for basically 12 months.
All right, we'll have to look for Lucky Look. Thanks for sharing that with us. Mary Lou, have you know, despite or thinking about isolation, have you been able to meet with some of your fellow writers, at least telephonically, in the last weeks?
No, I haven't been. Well, I, of course, I have. I'm grateful that I Richard is one of the people that I am able to meet with, and he provides me with all the news from the others. And it's a group that's really very important and impressive, in my opinion. And so I'm delighted that I hope that they will be. Those who are interested will be submitting to your program, the Community Connection.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because it's really a wonderful opportunity. But then we have a community of poets here. We have such a broad range of ages and interests, and I'm just delighted, especially with the omnibus that's been very... very well received in the last few years. I've been very eager to have young people, especially students, participate, and they certainly have been doing that in these last couple of years, don't you think, Richard?
Yeah, I think that the and the more youth poems have been chosen, I think, in the last two seasons, and I think that's, you know, a wonderful thing.
And Richard, how many participants would you say are in the Byrne Thompson Writers Group?
Well, you know, we have an email list of 20 some odd writers, but a group of 10 or 12 is a large group. In fact, it's almost too big to conduct what we usually do, which in a two-hour period is a poet reads a piece and then everybody discusses it. So, you know, if you have 10 people, that really limits the amount of time per poet to, well, 12 minutes. And an ideal group for us is 6 to 8, and we often have that many. Yeah, it's been a really good group. And one thing that Mary Lou may not have even heard yet is that we're going to try to get together on Thursday night with a Zoom get together, something that some of us are not expert on yet, but
join the club, Richard. Join the club.
Yeah,
we're all learning. All right, Mary Lou, do you have another piece that you can share with us?
Yes, I do. This is a very light piece, but my friends and family have more than once, and I'm sure this may have happened to you too, Scott, said, "I have always wanted to go to Alaska." You've heard that phrase, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So this is directed to those who have said that but have never made plans or made the trip. It's called Pack Light, Bring Dreams. Yes, come to Alaska on a ship, on a plane, even a kayak if you must. Just come. I'll meet you at the dock, on the tarmac, or boat ramp. In drizzle, storm, or dazzling sun, you can count on me. Just come.
All right. Thank you. Mary Lou, I was wondering if you could sort of compare and contrast the creation of a piece like Handiwork or Pack Light, Bring Dreams versus right now when you share it. How do those, how are they similar? How are they different?
Well, oh my. I wish I had had time to think about that.
How about joy factor? You know, the creation of those pieces, does it bring you a lot of joy? And then how does that compare to just sharing it right now like you did with all of our listeners?
Well, it's always fun to share poems. It's always fun to find what other people are interested in and the styles. We all have different styles. We all have different connections with our muse. And the muse is a very important part of poetry, as it is with most writing, and has a mind of its own. So it's always wonderful to think to yourself, well, I'm going to attempt to work on this idea and find that you're turning left when you thought you were going to turn right. And when you get through with it, it's not what you thought it was going to be at all. Is it mysterious? Oh, I wouldn't say that, but it certainly is fun to see what the words will what the words will lead you to in a poem. And you know that poems are on serious themes often. Life and death is a couple of big ones, and we have just joyful poems about new arrivals in our families and friends that have passed on, and it's a real interesting process. And of course, it's we struggle over things like where to put a comma and when to put a period. Now, most people don't give that a lot of thought, but we do.
Richard, do you find yourself writing more or less right now?
I think I may be writing less, but I do tend to be writing, you know, more about things somehow related to the virus, and I do intend to submit something to an audio for the community connections, and that's sort of more, you know, what I'm doing at the moment.
Well, we look forward to that. Do you have another piece that you'd like to share with us today?
I do, and I would like to say something about my first one, if I could.
Please,
the Lucky
please.
Look. The poem itself is just an observation. You know, it's just like a verbal photograph, and I think the only thing that really makes it poetry, I mean, it's got images, good images, I think, but the title, Lucky Look, is what it's all about to me. It's these wonderful things happen in nature all the time, and in this case, I just happened to look up and pay attention at the very precise moment where this squirrel ran across a wet branch and, you know, scattered droplets that caught the sun. And so I think a lot of my poems come from that, either a visual prompt or sounds. And this next, the second one I will read is titled Pacific Beach, and it was inspired down on the Olympic Peninsula, so it could be Olympic Beach. But this one is inspired by sound, and here goes. On the dark beach, I listen to an ominous roar beyond the breakers as a moon-pulled mass of water crashes into our western fringe. But before reaching the sand on which I stand, it softens to a reassuring whisper, a sibilant pulse of foam.
All right. Thank you. A moon-pooled mass of water. Great language in there, Richard. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the first one, Lucky Look, definitely inspired, you said, by sort of visual things. This one sounds like it was more auditory.
Correct.
Got it. Got it. Mary Lou, mm-hmm. if we wanted to see a piece like Handiwork in print or Pack Light Bring Dreams, where can we do that?
Well, they have not been published. Well, I have been published in Tidal Echoes and in Capital City Weekly, when Capital City Weekly was more expanded than it is now, and also in Alaska Women Speak. So when I submit to these various publications, I'm very glad to be well received.
We're glad too. And Richard, Lucky Look, is that on the buses as we speak?
I don't think it is. Because of the virus, we did not have our regular reading this year. So this is actually the first time I have read this aloud to others other than the Byrne Thompson group. And I'm not sure when the placards will go up this year, but I would guess, you know, maybe the month of May. Things could be delayed some, and I perhaps could have checked on that before. But,
okay.
You know, May or June, I would hope the placard would show up.
So this is sort of like the world premiere right now on June
right.
afternoon.
you can definitely, this is the world premiere.
And how about Pacific Beach? Where might that land?
It has not been published yet, and it has been submitted. Excuse me. It's just not been picked up yet.
Okay, Mary Lou. About how old were you when you started writing poetry, if I may ask?
Well, I first started working in poetry when I was in high school. And I would sometimes share my work with my peers. And no doubt, you do have to understand that rejection is a part of your life when you're a poet. And so that was often the case. The idea of poetry was so foreign to many of my colleagues and many of my friends that it was just there was just a wall between me and the audience, which can be discouraging. But you just have to say, well, their loss, and keep going.
How about you, Richard?
Actually, fairly different. I was. I was trained as an organic chemist, and in college I avoided courses in English and humanities with a passion. It was something I really regret now. And I had no interest at all in any type of writing until I came to Juneau in 1971, and then I had plenty that I wanted to write about all of a sudden, you know, just writing friends and family about the wonders of Alaska. And that led into poetry. I think the first poem of any kind I ever wrote, I was almost 45 years old. So I certainly did not start as a child.
Okay. Mary Lou, for somebody who's never really written a poem before, or maybe they tried it in school and it didn't work, and Now they're hanging out at home, and we're all looking for things to do. What would be your advice to somebody about getting started again?
Well, I think that if you were just deciding that now is a good time to look at your writing and see what's going on, I would hope that you just write. I think Natalie Goldberg, of course, has a book that is called Writing Down the Bones, which I think is an excellent resource for getting going. But her premise is, and I think it's valid, just write. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Put it down. Keep putting it down. Just keep putting it down. When my children were small, I used to have flashes of insight when I was cooking the oatmeal or doing the laundry or cleaning up after a sick baby who has spit up all over everything. I would just write it down on whatever scrap of paper I had and stick it in my pants pocket. And then when I got around to it, I would pull these funny little pieces of paper out and take a look at them to remind myself of what was going on. I don't recommend that because it's kind of risky. But I think that if you just sit down and just let your mind just be still for a minute, not try to make any sense out of anything, just write it. It's just free flying. It's as if you were just up in the air and were trying to flap your wings, and it was working some of the time, but you just had to keep flapping them because you never knew when it was going to quit.
How about you, Richard? What would your advice be to a potential writer?
Well, Mary Lou's advice is really good. Just write. I would probably start with a description of something. Back when I kept, I tried to keep a daily journal for years and years, and there was never pressure. So, you know, you didn't have the blank page pressure because I didn't have to write anything. But I would often start with something as simple as the sun is shining or rain beats down or something. And once started, I would often continue, and I might go from the rain falls down to, you know, the car is broken down, or get into personal woes of this and that. But the key was to start, and I think that would be really good advice, is try to get an image down on paper and see what happens.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Richard Stokes and Mary Lou Spartz from the Byrne Thompson Writers Group. April is Poetry Month, and we're hopefully going to check in with some of their colleagues from the group. And if you have poetry, listeners, and would like to submit it, we'd love to hear it. You can go to ktoo.org/community connection, and there are instructions there on how to submit poetry and other stuff, music, reflections, ideas, how you're spending your time during these strange times. You too, it's been a pleasure speaking with you as always. Please keep in touch. We're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much, Scott. This was really delightful to be able to join you. And we only hope that if you are interested in poetry, we'd like to invite you to join us at the Byrne Thompson. We meet the first and third Wednesday of the month, ordinarily, and we hope to get back to that, as everyone does in the community, as soon as we can.
And ordinarily, would that be at the downtown library?
It is at the downtown library, yes.
First and third Wednesday at what time?
5 to 7.
All right, maybe folks can start writing like right now and workshop that and bring it to you for workshopping or just sharing.
We'd love it. Just love it.
Richard and Mary Lou, thank you both so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh.